Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guest experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves. We become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
Today's episode brought to you by JB Weld. Available, by the way, at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more, and proudly made in the USA. All right, in this show, we'll talk about Travis Pastrana and his Hoonigan Subaru wagon, which is out of control, Pagani. We'll talk about Rivian.
A little bit of Goodwood.
Some Goodwood talk. It's all there coming right at you. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on those choices. Get on. Yeah, welcome to CarCast, Matt Pearl. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. What's going on in the car world?
Oh, it seems like there's still things happening, despite people can't really make new cars, but things are happening.
Yeah, I checked out a guy's Rivian the other day.
Yeah.
And it was nice. Very nice.
Yeah, they're getting there. You know, like a lot of startup companies and new model cars, there's been some delays. I know Rivian, I think, sent out a letter recently to their SUV holders.
SUV. Yeah,
the R1S SUV, which I do like, saying that there's going to be some delays. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of that. But, there's a Rivian office on Venice Boulevard, like a mile from where I am. So I'm starting to see them everywhere. And now they're parking them out front, put them on display. And they're cool. I think they're a good size. They got good features. I kind of question the direction of the company. They're going after this, like, we live in nature, it's all green. But I was like, you kind of have the most inefficient electric vehicle out there. And it's an 800 something horsepower truck that does 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And
yeah.
And I know a lot of people are having this conversation, but it's just kind of interesting that maybe they should just go after a badass truck and a little less save the trees.
Yeah. I heard there's a 3-year wait if you sign up today. Also, well, that was just for the, you know, from the owner. Strikes me when I was like looking at it and walking around it and kind of checking out the scale of it, that you could probably get a 3-year-old Honda Ridge Runner.
The Ridgeline.
Ridgeline. Ridgeline. That's like a Forerunner. Yeah. You get a Ridgeline.
Similar, yeah.
Save yourself $80,000.
I mean, it's kind of the size of a Ranger right now, like, you know.
Yeah, Ranger, Ridgeline. And I don't know if the Ranger – the reason I say Ridgeline is because that was, like, I guess, one of the first unibodied trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Although, let's not sleep on the very first Rabbit, VW Rabbit truck. That was probably a unibodied truck from back in the day. You know, front wheel drive, probably had no frame on it. I passed one of those things on the freeway the other day. You forget how miniature those goddamn cars are.
You passed one on the freeway. You saw one.
I saw one.
Out in the wild.
Out in the wild.
Because I haven't seen one of those in a minute. Maybe like if you go to Rutledge Woods' house, you'll probably find one. Mm-hmm. Like, we love Rut, but he's into some wacky stuff. But I want to say Hyundai has like a unibody truck. Is it Santa Cruz? I don't know. Chris could probably find it. But I think it's pretty decent. Like, I haven't got the chance to drive it yet, but I think Hyundai has an interesting little...
It's a pickup truck.
Yeah.
It's not an SUV.
No, it's a pickup truck. Yeah, it's a little... let's see if we can find it. Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not cute. Bad. Yeah, looking. It's kind of sporty. Yeah. I don't know the actual size of it. And by comparison, we're looking at a photo. I can't tell if it's, is it Ranger size? I don't think it's Maverick size, right? I think that's tiny. And I think this is like Ridgeline and Ranger size.
Is it all gas?
That's a good question. We're going to have to look up the power plant in that thing. Maybe it's just like a gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be one or two. I mean, there's got to be like two engine options. I don't know if hybrid's going to be one of them, but Chris can dig into it a little bit. I'm kind of just waiting for it to come out, and maybe we'll get on the list to drive one. But, I'm okay with kind of these unibody-esque, city trucks, because they drive smooth. They have like coil springs and independent rear suspensions, or even live axle ones with coil springs on it. They're a little bit smoother. If you're using it as a work truck every day, get a truck. But if you're kind of looking for something that you use as a truck occasionally.
Well, it also, the trip to the Home Depot has changed. So when I was a carpenter, Home Depot is a bunch of guys with trucks and lumber racks, and they're a bunch of guys picking up 2x6 redwood decks, 12 footers and sheets of drywall, 8 foot long plywood, 8 foot long.
Yeah.
You know, you're going there to get building materials. You know, now people are going there to get a generator. They're going there to get a chop saw. They're going there to get some outdoor furniture that's in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when I was coming up, it was all kind of about length. Like, well, you need that long bed because if you want to get 10 sheets of drywall, you need that long bed so the shit's not hanging out, and you have to flag it and so on and so forth. Now, a lot of those new vehicles have the flip down front sort of. The front of the bed, or the bed closest to the cab, is no longer a bulkhead. It now flips down, and you could slide your lumber, the vehicle, buy yourself an extra 2.5 feet.
Right.
Actually, as I was looking at the, the Rivian, the rear tailgate sort of extends.
Mm-hmm.
So you flip it down, and then you can pull it out another 18 inches, and basically means your lumber's not hanging out of the back three feet or 4 feet. It's hanging out 1.5 feet. It's the same difference, but at least it's not just lumber unsupported, hanging out. So little innovations to take a smaller space and make it bigger. You make the tailgate telescopic. You make that pull out 1 foot.
Right.
And then you have the front of the cab, or where the cab is, a bulkhead, flop down. And now you can, it's kind of an extension, really, of back in the day, Audis, maybe Mercedes, maybe BMW, a couple other companies, they had that armrest in the four-seater in the back that flipped down, and they had a pouch.
Yeah.
And you would slide your skis.
The skis, yeah. The
right,
ski
right.
Pouch.
So you could do the ski pouch thing. But I'd always just tear it off and make it a lumber pouch.
Well, I mean, you did go to Home Depot. I forgot what project you were working on. But we were driving like the Panamera Turbo that weekend. I was like, you want the Panamera? You're like, yeah. And then you ended up at Home Depot and you shoved a bunch of shit in the pan. You're like, it's a hatchback. It's four doors. Plenty of room. We could put lumber on the dash, go all the way out the back.
I went to the Harbor Freight in that bad boy in a bad neighborhood. Yeah. Picked up some blades. But yeah, so there was definitely that. Mm-hmm. And so now they've become more efficient, but again, the use is different. People are going there. They're buying themselves a chop saw, and comes in a box, and they put the box in the back. We don't need 8-foot lengths anymore.
Yeah.
For what a lot of people are going to Home Depot for.
Mm-hmm.
Or sacks of whatever, you know, big jumbo size sacks of dog food or whatever. So, you know, the application has changed.
You know, when you get into that, the Ridgeline, I know a lot of people are like, it's not a truck, it's not a truck. Okay, but when you get into that thing, it's still pretty nice on the inside. You feel like you're just driving one of the Honda's nice SUVs, and then, you know, it's got an open back instead of an enclosed back. But
well, if you're going to go with a monocoque type shell, a non-frame shell unibody, and you're going to do independent in the rear and coilovers in the front and rear, then the ride's going to be the same as a streetcar, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
All right, so we were talking about who is the singer version of the Z car, and then you sent me a video because people contacted you, the MZR Road Sports, who are doing the high-end Z stuff.
So I heard about this company a couple of years ago. You know, Petrolicious did a nice video with them, and I saw it back then. And I just haven't really heard from, you know, about the company or heard from the company in a while. So I was kind of wondering what they're doing and haven't really dug into if they're still around. But, you know, Petrolicious did this nice video on them. I think, yes, this seemed like a company that could be as close to doing a Singer version, Singer-esque. Maybe that's not the right term. I'm sure they're getting annoyed with that kind of stuff. But they made a nice video. They do a nice car. They got a lot of carbon fiber. They're doing some really cool engines. They're keeping it authentic. I think these guys can do these cars with the numbers matching engine, and they just hop it up, right? So you still get a numbers matching engine. So you watch some of the video.
Yeah.
And first of all, they're hitting it out of the park with the interior. Like they're doing a nice job, right, with the interior. Maybe you want to change up the seat a little bit. They got kind of a racing bucket, maybe if you want to lean back or something like that. But they're doing a nice job with these cars. They seem to be making power with the different engine options. And I you know, they're not $700,000. They're $100,000. That's
really?
That's the thing is, you know, when I started looking into this, I was like, what are these things cost? Mm-hmm. And I think they were, you know, with the currency conversion, you know, 110, 120,000. Like, I didn't see anything that was $200,000.
Really? Because, I mean, you know, I looked at the cars and, you know, the thing that's funny is most of it is the body color with kind of the ghosting stripes. You know, they're kind of taking the Singer color palette, and it seems like they're using the Singer color palette, or maybe that's just today's color palette, but they're no longer these big bright, you know, red and yellow and stuff. They're more subdued colors, and the striping and the badging is a little more ghostly. I still can't figure out how they're doing this for $100,000 or even $125,000.
Yeah, and this was a couple of years ago. So, well, first of all, to be fair, this Singer-esque color palette that's so popular now, this video was a few years ago. So these guys were on board with this in the early stages of it. And yeah, how are they getting it done? They're built in the UK. And in the video, the guy was like, we only use California cars. It's like everything we get is from California because they're clean and the least amount of rust. And
it's a great piece. The interior's out of the ballpark. You realize by just taking some little basic steps like you know, in the rear shock towers, putting a nice color matching cap over the top versus the plastic snap-on thing that came with the Z cars. You get a lot out of it. I guess in the interior is, you know, Singer-esque, but Singer is just, you know, 76 911 turbo Porsche, you know, like, I mean, just in a sense, you know, that houndstoothy thing and the materials and stuff. It's not like Singer invented it. They just kind of brought it back and put their own stink on it. It's very good looking stuff. The only thing I have with these cars is there's not much they can do with the exterior. They're just kind of a Z car. You can change the mirrors. You can color match the rear panel and, you know, take the bump stops off the bumpers, or maybe, I don't say shave them, but maybe just contour them a little bit. You know, it's just a Z car. And it looks like, you know, someone did a Z car nicely. It's really the interior where it really starts to shine, right?
And a good clean engine compartment underneath the skin.
Yes, the engine compartment as well.
Underneath the skin, they put a nice brake package on it. I think they revised the suspension a little bit. But now it's just a little bit of a parts catalog thing. Like, they're giving it the right amount of attention. But you're right. It's not like they're saying, oh, everything is bespoke. You know, it looks like a Z grill, but, you know, it's a single big piece of aluminum, and it's billet and started off at 700 pounds, and we whittled it down to 9 pounds. And, you know, like, it doesn't have a little bit of that, like, Singer and Icon thing, you know, going, is this the best dash we have? You know, where did we start with this dash? Oh, we started with, you know, a big piece of billet, and then we machined it. We made a tool, and we made it out of carbon fiber. So, you know, the dash is $27,000, you know, to get it to where we wanted. It has the stock door handles, a lot of the stock trim, the stock quarter windows, and, you know, a lot of the, you know, the manual windows and doors. And so a bit of that. But what was a 240Z, to your recollection, what did a 240Z cost 3 years ago versus today? Just
a nice stock one on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah.
3 years ago, 25K to 32 or something. Yeah. You know, they're sort of, they varied a lot, but they had a lot of range. But I would say, you know, 25, 30, you know, get yourself a clean one. And now it's or maybe 35 to 45, and that's just sort of clean stock. I mean, they had some really big popper ones up there for 150 grand, but by and large, you know, I don't know. Chris can check the Bring a Trailer website, but I don't know, 40, 45. And then now maybe it's in the, you know, 55, 60 to 70, 75 range.
So who knows? I mean, maybe back then this guy was trying to buy just the, you know, the cheapest ones he could find because, you know, he was going to redo them.
Yeah, you could find a lot for 12 grand that were just kind of rat's nest
and if it's,
beaters.
If it's double that now, I mean, I don't know. I guess it'd be interesting to see where these guys are at now. And are their cars 200 grand? And is 200 grand too much? I mean,
we're looking at the scattergram for Bring a Trailer. And there's a couple knocking on the door of 150 grand. Although there was one that went for like 300 at the very, at the very top.
I mean, looking at all those dots, you're right. Around 17, 18, 19, there's a lot of dots. Let's say in the 25 and below, and then around 19, 20, 21, and a lot of the more dots are starting to
creep up 50.
A little closer to that 50 mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. There was that one, the craziest $310,000.
I think the one that went for $310,000 was one that went to the Z car cliche or whatever they call it with Ferrari or whatever. And I think that thing was like rebuilt by Nissan or refurbished by Nissan, if that makes sense. Does it say anywhere on there? It was not, less doing a number at a shop. This thing went back to Nissan, I think.
And we talked to some of the guys from the Z Club in Tennessee when we were there.
mm-hmm.
right, about this car going crazy. And they all knew why. I forgot what the whole story was, but they were like, yeah, but we know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we gotta talk to the guys with the Z Club again.
Yeah, I love the Z car guys. They're, you know, I'm into Z cars. They're a little too into Z cars, I would say. But they're still going strong. And, you know, the question with the Z car is, what do you do with the body? Like, mm-hmm. you know, you can put on those kind of flares that we all know about.
Right.
And then you could go with a sort of big box flare that we've seen mm-hmm. on the 280ZXs.
You can change the nose up a little.
And then there's this sort of G-nose kind of get the hood. You know, the problem, you know, what somebody essentially needs to do is the thing that I always tell you guys, the thing that everyone loved about the Ferraris, although they didn't know it, is, you know, like a Ferrari GTOs. It had like 2.5 feet of sheet metal before the hood started, mm-hmm. you know? And lots of Ferraris have that. GTBs have that. You know, they just what Ferrari got is that nose piece going, and then the hood. You'd go way back, and then the hood started.
Yeah,
you know, the hood was hinged, you know, 2.5 feet before the front bumper, back toward the windshield, and the Z just went all the way to the front edge.
Right,
and it's okay, but it's just. Doesn't satisfy. And by the way, you only need 6 inches. Like, you don't have to bring it all the way back.
Yeah.
You just need a solid strip that goes from the front of the headlight buckets across, go back about 9 inches, and then have the hood come up from there. Like,
yeah.
You could probably get Sean to fabricate that up. And
yeah, to do a version of that.
It would work.
It's interesting because the Ferraris, you know, yeah, you're right, had 2 feet in the front, but also had like 8 inches around the sides as well. It was like a little,
yeah,
you know, just like a panel at this point. If you think like early Testarossa or whatever with the clear scoop on the top and the mm-hmm. and the stacks just barely poking out, and
yeah,
you know, and you're like, yeah, that's also got like 6 or 8 inches between the fender and the hood, you know.
Yeah,
so if you open the hood, you're like, you could basically get to the stacks and tune the carbs maybe with a long screwdriver, but that's it. That's all you're getting to.
Yeah, and also back from the windshield a good piece too. So what you kind of need is for the hood. Also, they would kind of break the edges so it was sort of curved. You know, the hood didn't have sharp edges.
Yeah.
And what you kind of need is just a strap and the full pop-off variety,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus maybe even the hinged variety. But the thing that really takes that car to the next level is not having the hood go all the way out to the front bumper.
Right.
Which is why people love the Geno's Zs, because they do have that front end where the hood doesn't go all the way out to the front edge.
Right. I see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
let's see. The 240Z is all original and unrestored. Oh, the one that was 310 grand?
Yeah. So it was just the most original 240Z in existence. So that's why it sold for so much.
Yeah.
Even maybe I was thinking of one that went for like 150.
There was one with a story that I know what you're talking about. And I don't recall it, but there was one with.
It was like went back, Nissan certified it and rebuilt it.
Yeah.
Or something, not that. One. Not that one. That's just all original.
This one for 310 just seemed a little high. There's an anomaly there. When you look at the chart, you know, getting one is cool, but it's not a comp unless there's three, right? Like you need a couple, few.
Yeah, that one
before it's just like somebody overpaid.
All right, so what do we got? We got Pikes Peak coming up this weekend.
Pikes Peak is coming up, and I don't know what's going on, but I just got a text like on the way here going, oh, potentially it's going to be like a shit show of a storm and rain in Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I haven't looked at it yet on what's going on with the weather in Colorado. But, yeah, that might be an issue. But I'm still planning to go out to the to the Fan Fest, and thanks for the messages you guys sent me on social media. You're like, I got a bunch of messages. I was like, hey, I haven't been to Pikes Peak. What do I do? Everyone's like, go to the Fan Fest. It's Friday night. It's a big party. It's a lot of fun. If you go to the race, you got to get there at like 5 in the morning and camp on the hill, and you live there all day because it's basically closed and people are racing. And I was like, I don't have time for that. Seems like a lot of work. So going to go to the Fan Fest. Want to go and check out that whole thing and hopefully get to see a bunch of the cars. But speaking of wacky cars, did you see this Travis Pastrana and Hoonigan car that they're putting together? So Pastrana, it's funny because I saw it. I was like, is he going to run Pikes Peak? But no, he's going to debut it at the Goodwood Hill Climb at the Festival of Speed. It's a 1983 Subaru GL wagon.
It looks hot.
It's really kind of cool. And like the digital dash and stuff that they did in the interior, all the graphics are kind of programmed to be like retro looking graphics. See that?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
So when this car came out, what was it, like 65, 67 horsepower?
Probably.
1.6 liter, flat four, right?
Uh-huh.
67 horsepower, 81 pound-feet of torque.
That's the original trim, right?
This says he still has a flat four.
Mm-hmm.
862 horsepower.
Got to be running on 91, man.
Got to be running at least 91.
Yeah. Well, look, they get a lot of horsepower out of those flat four configurations. They've been doing it for a while, obviously, with all the rallying and all that kind of stuff. So that engine, they've got a lot of history wringing that engine out and getting, you know, all the horsepower they can out of it, right? So that's just experience coming in.
That's all the boost. Like, yeah, every bit of boost you can do, that's got to be.
Because it's still 1.6 liter?
Yeah. It's just got to be. I think when Tanner Fouts was running like X Games in a Fiesta out here, and I'm like, how much pounds of boost? He's like, 60.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay.
So a lot of that's timing, a lot of that's computers, a lot of that's cooling, and a lot of that's good fuel. I worry Travis going to put that thing into a hay bale or something. It's so easy over there.
It is easy over there.
Especially when it starts drizzling.
Yeah.
And then you want to put on a show for the crowd. And then you got the stopwatch on you. And, you know, as people warned me, that's not a racetrack. It's a driveway.
Yeah.
So it has no camber. It actually has a peak in the top and then slopes down to both sides,
right,
to have drainage, you know, for a driveway. So if you get on one side of it, it'll pull you one way. If you get on the other side of the crown in the middle,
yeah,
oh, the crown, it'll pull you, you know, the other way. It's not just sort of dig into the turn kind of thing, you know?
You know, as they ramp up to this event on their social media, they play a lot of videos. And one of the videos I forgot, it was so good, is our buddy Don Law. And, you know, he worked on your Newman car that you raced out there, but he's super into the Jags that we like, the XJ220s.
Right.
And his son, Justin, is it Justin?
Sounds right.
Justin Law has a racing version of that XJ220, and he was fast up that hill. He was like the third fastest up that hill in that car. That thing boogied. It's a really cool video to see him haul ass in that thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They bring those XJ220s out there.
Full race trim.
Full race trim, right. They bring those silk cut, you know, purple and white, you know. I think there's one coming up for sale, actually. Maybe, probably Don Law sure knows about that car. That one of the is it RM? Is it Gooding? Anyway, let me tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years use their epoxies, their super glues, putty sticks, wraps for projects big and small and on practically any surface, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. Keep it in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, craft supplies, and, of course, the garage. Also, they're the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. If something breaks, you should fix it. Don't throw it in the landfill, man. Get out your JB Weld and go to town on it. And JB Weld, of course, is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And we don't have to tell you that it's proudly made in the U.S. of A. It is JB Weld. So Pagani's going to make a long tail version of the Huayra.
Of the Huayra, yeah. They said they had a couple of customers, actually. I think two that said, hey, we want to do something different. Let's do a Huayra long tail. Obviously meant to be a top speed car. But again, the interior on these cars is just like a really expensive watch. It's like it's really cool, over the top, that the shifter mechanism, the gauge clusters. They run a big AMG V12, 800 and something horsepower out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is I think this car, even though it seems to have more bodywork on it because it's all carbon fiber, this thing comes in at a lighter weight than the regular Huayra. I want to say 2,820 pounds.
Nice.
Under 3,000 pounds. 840 horsepower, 811 pound-feet of torque out of an AMG of V12.
Is it turbocharged, I'm guessing? Yeah, must be.
It's got to be at this point, right?
Yeah.
They didn't give the specs on its top speed of what it's going to run, but $7.34 million. They're going to make five of them.
Well, you know, those long-tail Bugattis that have been popping up, and I think it was a Bugatti. Is it a Bugatti or a McLaren?
There's a McLaren, the long-tail McLaren, the 3-seat.
McLaren.
Tail.
Those have been popping up here and again. And these supercars, hypercars, they don't appear to be a bad investment no matter how much they cost.
I went to one of the RM previews, and they had the McLaren Speedtail there. It's got a presence. You walk up on the car, you're like, this thing is cool. It's big, it's long, it's what you expect. It's just the size of it is impressive. Super low, super long. The 3-seat configuration is cool, and you're like, this thing is fucking cool. It has that auction thing. Like, I get it. It's limited production. It's got the big power. But when you walk up on it, you're like, it presents. It really presents well. And you can see why people are clamoring over that thing.
It's going to be fun the first time I see one of those stuck in traffic on PCH, just crawling down PCH.
Just on the 405.
Low drag coefficiency. The guy with the slam Miata right behind him honking.
Haven't seen one on the road.
I have not seen one on the road.
I have not seen one on the road
either. But we live in a place where we'll be the first to know.
I swear I've seen a McLaren F1 on the road over there, and I saw a Jag XJ220 on the road, especially when you're getting up to auction season, because mm-hmm. Gooding's office and RM's office, photographing cars and moving stuff around, or mm-hmm. you'll see it on the back of a truck, or you see it drive around. And a Celine S7 I saw as well in the neighborhood, because I'm kind of live in between their two offices, RM and Gooding. You get to see a handful of these cars. Have not seen the Speedtail on the road.
No, but I do think those specialty, very limited number, one-off, whatevers, they just hold their value because of their exclusivity. And, you know, then as you go down, you know, even when you go down the food chain, like we were talking off the air, I think about Subaru WRX, whatever edition, you know, they only made 500. You know, they went $300,000 for those things. It's
and now 500 seems like a lot. Like, normally it wouldn't seem like a lot, but 500 seems like a lot for a car that's, you know, getting crazy dollars compared to their more stock variants.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, we don't have a real set number for what is a lot and what isn't a lot. You know, I used to say when I had my Lamborghini 350 GT, I was like, they made 123 of these, and people, you know, and then you'd look at, trying to think, you know, like Mercedes Gullwing, you know, they made 1,500 of them or something, you know, or some weird number. I don't know. I got in an argument with Leno about it once about how many they made. See how many Mercedes Gullwings. I know they made a lot of them because there's four. Sorry. On any auction weekend at almost any of the major auctions, there's seven.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three at every auction.
Yeah.
But
then you're right. Then you.
So you go, well, one's 1,500 and it's so coveted. You know what I mean? And the other's 123 and it's like, all right. You know what I mean? And then sometimes you go, the Subaru, they made 500 of these specialty ones. And then sometimes with the Porsche 924 Club Sport track only, they made 19 of them or whatever. But that's getting less than the Subaru, where they made 500 of them. So we're kind of, they made 3,258
SLs, not necessarily coupe, because this
was coupes were 1,400.
Okay.
That's why I said Gullwing.
Yeah.
So. No, it's still Gullwing. Even if
well, the Gullwing is only going to be the coupe, not the Roadster, because it doesn't actually have Gullwing doors. But there's going to be the Roadster, the 300 SL Roadster.
That's what Google's telling me.
Listen to Google. Listen to me. I said 1,500. That's I was like 3,000.
Okay.
What? Yeah. So.
Well, this was the discussion with Leno as well. There's the Roadsters, there's the coupe, the Gullwing. And then there's like the alloy body and then whatever. Yeah. Like you could start to get into your special editions.
All right. So they made 1,400. But the point is the Lambo, they made 123.
Right.
Now the Lambo is 550 to 650 and the Gullwings are 1.17 to 2.2.
Yeah.
Now I get it, it's a Gullwing, but still a straight six versus a V12. You know what I mean? And it's still 1,400 versus 123 or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
Do you think anybody ever looks at a Gullwing and go, oh, it's got Tesla doors?
They will now. So, and again, numbers, it's kind of weird. So they go, you know, it's kind of what I always said about the Mustang 350R.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, it's always like with the Ferrari GTOs, like they made 34 of them, you know, no. The R's, they made 34 or 36, I think it was, or something like that. But yet, somehow, you know, it's millions and millions less. I get there are other factors. I'm just saying we can't really fully define a small batch.
Right.
Because, you know, like I said, like in a weird way, the Gullwings are like the most ubiquitous exotic car out there, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that way with Dinos. You know, there's a ton of Dinos out there. It's a little bit different, but, you know, it's kind of an exotic car.
Listen, we don't have to give it a number, but anything under 200. If it's got a 2 in front of it, now it seems like there's plenty.
Yeah, seems like you could find one.
I mean, it's something with a 100, like 100 in front of it. If you said 120, 183, it all feels a little light, which means good, right?
Yeah.
And anything 200 plus feels like, okay, well, there's enough out there.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know. For me, it's 200.
Well, we do. I mean, we always do it especially in the muscle car. Like this one is one of three in Fiesta Blue with radio delete and a vinyl Townau Landau top on it with 3-speed automatic. Yeah. Like they're always trying to wrestle some sort of exclusivity out of the car. But it's always about numbers, right?
Yeah, that's definitely an American, you know, American muscle car thing.
When is Goodwood?
I want to say now. It's this weekend.
Goodwood is now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they always go from Lamar to Goodwood, right?
Right. And so the Festival of Speed would be now. The Revival is September?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
That'll let him take that
June
car
and
in.
September or the event.
They should let Travis drive it on that track. Yeah, so.
Yeah, Goodwood's now.
Goodwood's, yeah.
So we got to see if Travis has made a run on that thing. I wonder if it's drizzling.
Well, I say now as people hear this, but it's this week.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming
right.
up.
It's a little
in a few days.
It's
when
a
you're in
early.
Colorado, it's happening.
Yeah, it's going on in Colorado.
Yeah.
And by the way, still a couple tickets left Friday, Saturday, 24th, 25th, doing some live shows there. Stand up, do live pod. Kyle Dunnigan's going to join us on the early show on Saturday, so you may want to say hi. You may want to come in at that one because he is so goddamn good in those venues. All right, we got a JB Weld segment, Chris.
We sure do. So, 'tis the season for home projects right now, whether it's building from the ground up or making something good as new. JB Weld is the glue for you. We'll be showcasing some of the possible uses for JB Weld products today with our new game called Product for the Project, where Adam, you and Matt will have to decide what product would be best for a project that I'm going to throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a list of every single one of JB Weld's products there. So I'm going to give you some scenarios, and you just guess which product you would use, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. All right. So for the first one, you want to secure a bottle opener to the front of your fridge. Which product would you guys use?
Stainless steel fridge.
Yeah,
wood
what
grain,
kind of fridge? What's going on with the fridge?
Avocado green.
unclear.
All right, it's a metal. It's a metal front fridge. Okay, now the multi-purpose epoxy, the clear weld syringe. I don't know about an epoxy on metal, and where you're gonna pop bottle caps on it, right? I need something that's got some give because that'll dry hard. It'll be rigid, and I think it'll pop off.
But I think
you want to. You're thinking epoxy putty. Maybe?
I'm thinking the epoxy putty. I'm thinking the steel stick epoxy putty. I just don't know that. To your point, I think any of the super welds would be a little too rigid. I think the putty might have the
strength. I'm going to rule out the windshield saver kit.
Yeah.
And a plastic bonder syringe, quick-setting epoxy, provides strong and lasting repairs and works on plastics, carbon fiber, concrete, and more. Yeah, I'm going with the plastic weld epoxy putty.
I'm going steel stick epoxy putty.
Steel stick. Yeah. All right, I'm going plastic weld.
Actually, Adam, you were right with the clear weld syringe that you were looking at first. It's a quick-setting, multi-purpose epoxy that provides a clear, strong, and lasting bond on most surfaces, like plastic, ceramic, glass, tile, wood, and metal. That's what JB Weld recommends for something like that.
Well, to be fair, that's not the right refrigerator.
You got a different fridge.
You got a different fridge.
All right, let's do another one.
Because that one goes to multiple different types of materials.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right, this one's car-related. There's a crack in your car's bumper. How would you fix it?
Bumper. All right.
All right. Is it a 240Z bumper that's all steel, or is it your Prius bumper?
There's a crack in my Prius bumper.
Okay, your Prius bumper. All right.
I'm going to go with the Super Weld Light Activated Instant Glue. I mean, it's good. The epoxy syringe we've already used, but that would be pretty good for that one.
I'm going to go plastic weld. Epoxy
got the word
putty.
Plastic right in it.
Well, there's something about it needs to have a little bit of a flex to it. It needs to have like, you know, because if you're...
I'm going to go plastic bonder syringe. All right, you go plastic weld.
Okay.
Adam, you got it right. It is the plastic bonder syringe.
Yeah.
Syringe is the way to go
recommends.
These days.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a quick-setting epoxy that provides strong and lasting repairs and works on plastics, carbon fiber, concrete, and more. All right, next one. You need to fix a broken toy and quite a crying kid right now. How should you fix it?
Wait, do we get to glue the kid? You can't glue
the
kid.
Glue his mouth shut.
No, let's glue the toy.
Okay, just the toy, not the kid. All right.
It's a toy. It's plastic, probably. No one makes toys out of wood anymore, right?
No. And I don't know. Probably not a carbon fiber toy.
No. I'm going to go with a non-epoxy. I'm going to go with Super Weld Extreme, Super Glue Gel.
Yeah,
I'm going Super Weld Extreme on this one.
Yeah. Super Weld Extreme or Super Weld Light Activated Instant Glue. Mm. I guess you could go either way. I'm going to go Light Activated if you're going extreme.
Yeah, don't forget that clue. You want to quiet that crying kid right now. So you want to use a Super Weld Light Activated Instant Glue,
Especially
formulated to provide a strong instant bond that cures in seconds. Once applied to the surface, shine the blue light and it cures almost instantly, perfect for multiple surfaces. So there you go.
Okay.
That was our product for the project. Thank you, JB Weld.
All right, let's do one more subject. What do we got? We got McLaren, we got Rivian, we got what else do you got? Where people should watch, we'll go back to Goodwood, but it strikes me that Goodwood does a pretty good job online of like streaming all their stuff.
I would say even if you just follow their social media accounts, you follow them on like Instagram,
mm-hmm.
there's all these great clips. And when you see the clips, you got to follow the Festival of Speed. I think it's like Goodwood FOS and the Revival. The Revival is great because there's all these clips of dudes in like E-types, you know, with tires 3 inches wide and just sawing out a wheel that's 16 inches in diameter. And he's getting a little loose and it's always raining. And
it's a great, you know what it is? It's the steering wheels are wide and the tires are narrow.
That's right.
And that creates a great sawing.
And it is so much action. And you bring this up several times, but you see just like, you see the big cars run like the Galaxies and they got to really get on the brakes to go through, you know, to the chicane. And then you see like the Mini Cooper and the guy's just like all out, just flying through.
And by the way, not Clubman, like old school Mini Cooper.
Yeah, old school
like
Mini Cooper.
We fucking 10-inch rims.
Yeah. Now, I am happy to say the chicane that looks like a big cement block, I believe
styrofoam.
Is foam, right? Because
styrofoam.
I saw someone
somebody
hit it.
Somebody will plow that every year.
Somebody plowed it and it kind of shattered. It's like, oh, thank God, it's foam.
Yes. All right.
It's cool to see.
You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows and book. You can pre-order my book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's all there. What do you got?
Let's see. Just a follow at Moderator on social media. We'll keep you updated there.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Moderator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.